Blog Talk Radio.
This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you check us out on blogtalkradio.com. Get Deep and Keep It Real. You can also find us on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and of course on Twitter. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up on our Facebook account and on our Twitter account. So any comments or questions or any special requests for guests or show topics, please always feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And if you would like to call into the show, please do. Our number is 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Hello, you're listening to Tiffany Camilla on Get Deep and Keep It Real. How are you this Wednesday afternoon? Did you miss me? I missed you. I am so sorry that I've been away, but I had some things to take care of, and then we had a couple of cancellations last week, but, you know, it is what it is. We live in a very busy, fast-paced world, and sometimes, you know, people have things they have to do and can't always, you know, accommodate the show. So that being said, I'm happy to be back today, and I look forward to today's show and also to next week's show. And let me just give you a sneak peek to next week's show. We're going to be having a very special guest who's going to be talking about international kidnapping and abduction of children. Yes. This does happen to us. I'll have a young lady telling her very personal story of how her children were abducted and kidnapped and taken to another country. So make sure you stay tuned for that show next week at 5 p.m. on Get Deep and Keep It Real. And coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking about the state of American public school system. And if the school system is doing a good job educating our children, and especially we're going to target African-American children because they seem to really be lacking in this particular story, Latino children as well, but mainly our children of African-American descent are really suffering when it comes to public education. And, you know, just some things to think about is that we kind of have a two-party system here. And what I mean by two-party system is we kind of have a school system set up for the rich and the poor. If you tend to have money, it seems like the money goes to, you know, the school, and the schools are really well-funded. And if you happen to live in an area or neighborhood that doesn't have a lot of money, then your children will be attending schools that don't have a lot of resources. And in the end, the children really do suffer due to a lack of access to materials. And just, you know, if they attend college, a lot of times they are not as well prepared as their cohorts who may have attended a school with a lot more resources. So on today's show, we're going to be joined by someone who has worked in the public school system in the state of Texas, specifically in Houston, and her name is Ms. Galloway, and she says we're just going to have a nice discussion concerning the state of public school system. And right now, it seems like we're having some technical difficulties. Seems like my guest can't get through. Give me a moment to troubleshoot this. And just give me 1 second, and we can see what's going on here. Huh. How can my guest get through? All right. Give me one moment, and we'll try to get the guest on the line here. And it doesn't appear that there are other callers who are blocking the line. And I do apologize for this. I've never had this experience before where my guest couldn't get through on my line. So just give me one moment and try to research this. Okay, it seems as if we are being disconnected, and I'm going to try to get her on the line. Huh. And give me 1 second. Okay, let's try this a different way. In the voicemail. Okay, let's try it once more. Okay, if you're listening, Ms. Galloway, I'm trying to give you a call since you can't seem to get through on our guest line. And I'm going to have to figure out what's going on and why you can't get through, but I'm going to try to reach you. Okay, so it looks like we're having technical difficulties. Okay. Okay, are you there, Ms. Galloway?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Everyone with Get Deep and Keep It Real, I do apologize. It looks like we're having some technical difficulties right now. So I had to do an alternate route to get a hold of Ms. Galloway, so I hope this reception comes through fairly clear, and that everyone can hear myself and her. And so we'll just go ahead and carry on with the show now.
All right, great.
And I've been told that everyone can hear us together now, so wonderful. So I hope you're having a wonderful day, and I thank you very much for joining me on my show today.
Oh, yes. Thank you for inviting me.
So what I really wanted to discuss with you and what I was telling everyone earlier, what we were going to be discussing, was the state of the American public school system, specifically dealing with African-American children and Latino children, because at this particular point, as far as I'm concerned in my research, I find that these are the children who are lacking the most when it comes to getting a quality education here in the United States. And I would like to get your opinion on that.
Well, I concur with you because having served as a board member for 12 years and also was in the schools and all the way from a PTA president to representative in teachers in an urban district, which is one of the largest districts in the state of Texas, I find it mind-boggling why we can't get it right here. I'm retired from the school board now, but it's continuing because our children are falling so far behind. And things that are suggested and recommended, no one seems to be listening to implement the different programs that will help our kids. It's all about accountability and testing. And so they're teaching to the test instead of teaching them how to read. And so this is another reason we're behind. And I even wrote a letter to the president because we spend millions of dollars on bilingual education. Mm-hmm. And so therefore our kids is not getting the different languages because we found out that through research that dual language kids do fare much better. And I recommend instead of having bilingual education and spending millions of dollars in federal funds for that, that we should start in the elementary schools with dual language, because mm-hmm. we notice when kids have two languages, the academics increase. And so we could change that from bilingual to dual language, and that way it would benefit all kids, and especially our kids. I was able to get that implemented in a few of the schools in the district I represented, the dual language program, where it's been shown that those kids are faring much better, the African-American kids. And so this is one area. And another area is that because of the economics and what is going on in the country today, that's another reason our kids are falling behind, because we don't have the programs that we really need in order to enhance those children that's in the urban city, especially in the urban city, because they're mostly single parents, and they don't get the support at home as they did back when I came along. And so that's another, because the mothers are busy working and trying to put food on the table. So we need to have more social workers as well as counselors starting in the elementary schools, because the young people are dealing with so much today compared to years back. So that's mm-hmm. another reason African-American kids are falling so far behind. And these are just some of the problems that I see that is happening in our society today. If no one is listening, everyone is listening and talking about accountability. The teachers are burnt out because they put so much on teachers today, whereas before a teacher didn't have to do anything but take the role and teach. Now teachers have to do all this paperwork, and they are rushing, they are burnt out. The pay is low compared to what the superintendent get paid versus what the teachers does. And then now they brought in the incentive, the programs, the monies. Before, they didn't have that. Teachers all, so now it's all competitive among the teachers. So it's just so many things that they're not looking at that's causing the problem. And they don't have the salaries that the teachers deserve to make, especially with all the additional work that they did put on them and want them to do, and holding them accountable, and then they're firing them, and then the school's having large turnovers, and you got to stabilize the school, and there's not any loving environment. It's just a rush, and no one's mm-hmm. time with the kids. So this is something that is really that we're just not looking at or dealing with or trying to figure it out. They're always bringing in more programs. When this research shows this is good, let's teach this way. And you can't teach every kid the same way, because every right. child don't learn the same way. And so everything got to be uniform, like one shoe fits for all. It does not, because every child don't come from the same kind of environment. So you can't. So that's the reason we are falling behind, and I'm just devastated by what is going on, and we are not rising up as African-Americans to do something about this.
Now, well, let me ask you, I'm not a parent right now, but, I plan on having some. So what are young parents like, people coming up now or myself who are going to be having children in the future, what should we be doing? What can we do, especially if we live in a community that may not have as many resources as another particular community? What kind of things can we do for ourselves or for our communities to make sure that our children are getting quality education and making sure that teachers have the support that they need to teach our children?
Well, you should be involved with your child's education, be involved in the schools. But as I see it, you have a meeting, the parents do not even show up, and mm-hmm. so they don't even know what is going on in their particular school. So that is the reason. You got to be the teacher at home as well as follow your child all the way through the school system, and they don't do that anymore. We have very few active PTAs where parents know what is going on, are meeting with their teachers to find out what level their child or what their child needs so you can reinforce it at home. This is not happening. And so this is the reason. I don't know if we should give the parents parenting skills to educate the parents. We do have programs in some of the schools for the Hispanic parents to teach them English so they can help their kids, and they have those programs. But for African-American parents, we don't have anything. And so this other reason. And the parents are working. It's hard for them to come out to the schools because so many of them are working and cannot be in the schools as once before because of the times. It's changed. And so, but we need to figure out a way to get them involved in their child education. That is one reason we are lagging behind, because African-American mothers, very few of them show up to actually know and involve and know their teachers. Many parents don't even, haven't even met their child's teacher. And so this is, it's just sad to say this, but it's the fact.
Now, I mean, like I said, I don't have any children, but I figure I've taught before. I've taught several years, although not in this country. I taught in another country, and as far as I'm concerned, teaching is teaching. But what I have observed in other countries is sometimes if that parent can't be available to show up at the school, often a grandparent or an aunt or uncle or some family representative or somebody would show up to advocate and, you know, stand in for that parent and stand in for that, you know, speaking for that child.
I agree.
And so, you know, but is there something like that we could possibly do here in this country, especially in our communities?
But they don't. You have the grandparents. Many of our young people in the schools, the kids, they're staying with grandmother. And grandmother grandmother's, I would say, burnt out. So grandmother doesn't show. They don't like to get out in the evenings or at night. And so they don't come. And so it's a matter of having some type of representative there for the child, but it's still, you don't have it, and this is what is happening. We got to wake up our African-American parents to state to them, look, you got to be involved. You got to see what is going on in your school where your child attends. You need to know what resources they have or they do not have. And then you got to get out and speak up and come to the board meetings and be a part of the system. But they don't show up to board meetings at all. And this is another reason they're closing up so many of the African-American schools in their community. And because they have, the enrollment has dropped because the change in the various communities has brought about, it's older neighborhoods now. Most people live in the suburbs. In the suburbs, it's different. You do have maybe two-parent household in those areas, but in the inner cities and urban school districts, you don't have it. That's why so many of our young people now are in the system, in the criminal justice system at 13 and 14 years old. And you have probation officers on the campus when you should be having social workers and counselors to help those kids, you know? And this
that is an excellent point.
Yes. Point. And this is what is going on. And so if you go to the juvenile detention center, you'll see so many of our young people, especially our young boys, are there. And that's because the children are spending time watching TV, or if they do have blessed to have a computer at home, they're on the computer playing games or going in, finding whatever they want to see on the computer or the Internet, you know. And this is distracting them from education, and we are not discussing the importance of getting a quality education with our kids these days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that is happening in the home. And so we got to look at the home because that's where it starts from. It starts at the home. And if we don't do something about this now, we're just going to have a lost generation of young people. And there are few. The percentage is going to be low of those getting a college degree and moving on. And this is the problem.
Okay. Now, one other thing I would like to discuss is, what is your impression or your opinion of the this thing now going to charter schools and the voucher programs. Are those helping or hurting our children?
To me, it's hurting our kids because charter schools have specifications, stipulations that are not in compliance with law. See, public schools, you have to be governed by state law.
Right.
Charter schools, they can get around state law. And if a child goes to a charter school, and if the parents have, they have to sign a contract and state, I will do this and that. So many of those schools, the parent must be involved. If not, they can tell the child, you no longer can come to this school, and they have to go back to the public school. And but in the voucher program, I don't support vouchers, never will and never have, because only person's going to be left out is going to be the African-American kids. Because you get a voucher, you can take your child to one of the best private schools or whatever. A voucher program is not good for us. We need to fix public education. I grew up with public education, and many of my friends who came before me, I mean, we had an excellent education because we was in the segregated era, and it was different because our parents, they were involved with us. We had mother and father at home back in the day, because, see, I'm well over 70 years old, so.
Right, yes, ma'am.
Different generation. And
right.
But generation now is not the same. And so we have to adjust to the generation that is there now. We have to bring our parents in. We have to get them involved. We got to do something to motivate them so they will know that education is very important to them as well as their child.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and at this moment, I'm just going to make an announcement. I just want to let everyone know who's listening or trying to listen. Evidently, there's some type of technical difficulties going on with Blog Talk right now, and many people aren't able to call in. So if you would like to send a email or a chat, you can please visit Get Deep and Keep It Real on Facebook or send us a tweet. And I'll be able to get your tweet or your message on the Facebook page, and I can ask your question, and we can try to get that accomplished that way. So I know a lot of people have questions, and I'm sorry, I emailed the company, so I'm waiting for a response. But if you could please visit our Facebook page at Get Deep and Keep It Real, I'll check that, and we can take your questions from there. Or you can send your question via Twitter, and I can also respond to your question and ask your question over the air and answer your question over the air if you just visit the Twitter or the Facebook page. Okay, and now let's get back to the show. Okay, and some other things that I really wanted to talk about with Ms. Galloway as well is, here in New Orleans, basically the whole school system has been taken over by a charter school. And so now we have a lot of different school systems kind of looking at New Orleans as a test case as to whether or not they want to go into the charter system, as well as you do have in a lot of the other larger cities, such as Detroit and I think Chicago, D.C., and I might be misspeaking with D.C., but I think New York City as well have a very large charter system program as well. And I don't know. I was just very disturbed when I found out that the city of New Orleans was basically being taken over by the charter school system, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, well, see, also with charter schools, it's mostly about the money. It's privately owned. They have the money to they get the public dollars, federal dollars. They get that, and it is mostly geared to their own laws and their own rules, and many kids don't have the social aspects in charter schools where they have different football teams, basketball teams, and young people who want to maybe go and become a pro player and expand on areas in the sports. Mm-hmm. And so, or they don't have maybe special performing arts or whatever in a lot of the charter schools. And see, that deters a lot of young people as well, because many of our young people, they do love the sports. Mm-hmm. And so the charter schools here in Houston, they don't have any type of sports at all. We do have charter schools here, and they filed, and the state sets them up for charter. And many of them had failed and failed the kids as well. They had to close them down because we do have an accountability system here in Texas that is totally different than any other state, I would say. Mm-hmm. But many of the kids go to Louisiana to get so they can graduate, because if you don't pass the test here, you're unable to graduate and get a diploma. And so that's another thing. It hinders other young people, so they end up dropping out, and because they never pass the test to graduate. And mm-hmm. that hinders them as well, so they go elsewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a very sad situation. It just seems like we have a very unequal, I think for the most part, the educational system has always kind of been a little uneven. But I would dare to say that since segregation, this has probably been the most unequal the educational system has ever been. Across the board, not only just for African Americans, but anyone in the lower socioeconomic classes now.
That's true. I agree totally. It is. And that's the problem. Instead of them addressing the need of the child, we are addressing who's going to get the contract and who's going to, and the superintendent getting the big dollars, who is nothing but a PR person, because they delegate all their work to somebody else, and they're getting the big bucks, and it's not about taking the money, putting it into the classroom, and the teachers don't have all the resources that they need in order to do the job. And here in Texas, where they passed a law years back, said, okay, we're going to have smaller class sizes in grade K through 4, where you had it 22-1. That way the teacher had more time to work with the kids who are not performing as the standard for their grade. And so they have never, ever reached that. They all get waivers. So we have class sizes still large. I mean, it's not like that. And so if you can get a waiver, you never meet it, and the law been in effect for probably about 15 years, and the class size has never, ever, hardly ever been 22-1. So this is another problem. When you make the laws, we don't force these districts to abide by the law that is made in order to help the child. And it's all about how they manage the schools now. Principals now have to be like a business manager. They give them a budget, and you got to hire so many teachers with the money you got, and you can't. So your class go up, because if you need a counselor, you may have to trade that off for a music teacher, or if mm-hmm. you need a nurse. And many schools in Texas don't even have nurses in the schools anymore. And so this is another. It's just so many obstacles in education. Instead of someone just sitting down, looking as a whole as to what actually is going on, where and in what states. And you get your federal dollars and you get your state dollars, and then you get your local dollars from taxes for the schools, and then the federal government has to cut, the state has to cut, and then you have to lay off all these teachers and employees in order just to accommodate your budget that you have for that year. So it's just a vicious circle. It's getting worse instead of everybody saying, stop, let's see what's going on. What do we need to put in these schools? What schools, because every school don't need the same thing.
Right.
And every school, they don't want to take from the haves and give to the have-not. Everybody is equal for his finance. I mean, if you're educating a child at $5,000 a school year, well, everybody get it. But your needs are greater. But you have this other area, which is upper class area, and they don't need that because they have it and they have all the resources from the pocketbook. Some PTAs have $15,000-$20,000 to give back into put back into their school, whereas the low socioeconomic community don't even have $10 to give back to their school and to help the kids. So it is. It's not equal at all. I say always it should be the have-nots to get the most so you can help them. If we pull them up, then that's going to help the economy, that's going to help the district and the city and the nation as well. So you need to give where it's needed.
So I guess what I think I hear you're saying, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that basically kind of the old adage that it takes a whole village. So basically we just need to all kind of pull our resources together and come together as parents and maybe kind of do this because, you know, I'm hearing a lot of parents kind of say, you know, a lot of people are kind of writing in and they're like, you know, what do we need to do to get African-Americans engaged? Or, you know, others are saying that, you know, sometimes they just sacrifice their work time and did take off time from work to go in to speak with their teachers. I mean, do we maybe need to community resource thing here?
We do need to get them together, and we do need to sit down and have a forum in various communities to mobilize the community, to educate the community, to inform the community, to show them statistics as to what is happening in that particular area, because, see, not every area is the same. So you have to gear towards if you're on the northeast side of a city, you gear towards them because they're all having the same problem over there versus the south side. So everything is always, it's different. It's a different problem in different areas, especially in large urban cities. So, yes, and we need to talk about it, and then we need to come up with a solution for the problem.
Right. And I think what I just also wanted to say in our last couple of minutes here was that, you know, as you have stated, I have stated, basically we're really just going to have to come together as a community to act as advocates for each other's children. You know, if your friend can't take off work, maybe, you know, you need to be assigned as that child's guardian or someone to, you know, come in who's able to come in to speak with the teacher because they do have all these crazy laws now about, you know, privacy and who can talk to the teacher or access to the child and such. And so maybe we need to be more cognizant as parents, as a community, to, you know, have other people who will be available to talk to a teacher for our child if we can.
That's,
you know,
correct. I agree.
You know, if you have a brother or sister, hey, you know, can you go, you know, talk to that teacher? It's okay. Give your permission. So I guess we just have to work as a group. And I guess the last thing that I also wanted to discuss with you is we're seeing, like, in crazy states like North Carolina, where they are actually cutting teachers' pay or trying to change the requirements. Like, there was a little deal that if you had a master's degree, you would be guaranteed a certain amount of salary and tenure. And now the governor of North Carolina has gone in and taken that away.
Yes, that's another trend, and this is not only there, but they're speaking about that here as well in Houston Penn School District, not paying teachers that has a master that further their education so they could have a higher set, and as well as a PhD. This is just a move across the country. We have a lot of young people today will not go to college to get a degree as a educator or a teacher because of what is happening in the education system. And that is the reason. And then the teachers don't have the support that they once had years back. They don't have that support. I tell anybody, they can pay me $100,000 to be a teacher, not in Houston, Independent School District, because they don't treat teachers with respect. They continue to have changes. You can't have a lot of revolving door in a school. You can't have that. You got to stabilize that school. The administration got to be the calluses to pull everybody together. You got to have the right personality. And when people don't have a love for kids and a love for people, it's hard to educate the child because that filters down to the classroom. If the teacher knows that someone is continuing to harass them, and it's always a chaos in the school, well, that's going to eventually affect the child and the learning of their kid because the teachers cannot teach when the environment is chaotic. And so they do one thing and somebody, and they always observing. Where before, administrators didn't go into, but they're required to just go in and they'll find any little thing wrong. Johnny was over there, didn't like he was paying attention. Well, okay, well, the teacher's going to get around to him, but when you got 30 kids plus kids in a classroom, it's hard to see every child and what they're doing. And you're working with a group over here and trying to get them situated. It's a lot going into it. And I don't blame young people today when they say, oh, no, I don't want to be a teacher. And but you got to have a love for it, and you got to have a love to continue to fight and speak up for those kids because it's really a lot of it is what is happening to teachers today and these schools and the way they are run today. That is what really is hurting our kids as well because I know what many of them are be up against.
Okay, yes. Well, our time is basically up, and so I would really like to thank you so much for joining my show today. And I'm going to have to apologize to a lot of the listeners. There were some serious technical difficulties going on through our show, and so I'm not sure what everyone was able to hear or not hear, but as soon as I recognized that it kept cutting me off, I started doing a backup recording. So if you think you've missed any part of this show, I am going to be uploading parts of the last, like, maybe 5 to 10 minutes of the show that I thought may have been cut off and attach it to the archives. And as always, any show that you do want to listen to that you may not have listened to before, they're all in the archives. All you have to do is go to Get Deep and Keep It Real, click on one show, and then if you want to hear some others, there's usually a list or a link as to hear the other shows. And once again, I would like to thank everyone for listening and joining in and sending in your questions, and I do appreciate it. And once again, I do apologize, and a special thanks to Ms. Rhonda Jones for sending in your question and also some comments that were made by Ms. Galloway. And I will be checking the Twitter. I apologize if I didn't get to you on the Twitter, but if you do send me a message, I will respond to get any questions that you needed to have answered. So everyone have a great day, and please join me next week as I will be having a special guest who's going to be talking about how her children were kidnapped and taken overseas and how she had to go through the international court to get her children back. So have a great day, and thank you for listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla, and check us out on Get Deep and Keep It Real on Facebook and also Get Deep and Keep It Real on Twitter. Have a nice day.
This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you check us out on blogtalkradio.com, Get Deep and Keep It Real. You can also find us on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and of course on Twitter. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up on our Facebook account and on our Twitter account. So any comments or questions or any special requests for guests or show topics, please always feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And if you would like to call into the show, please do. Our number is 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla.
This is Tiffany Camilla with Get Deep and Keep It Real. Excuse me. We just finished up a show with Miss Carol Galloway, Mims Galloway, and I was disconnected during the show. Many of you said you could still hear me, and I hope so, but I was able to record on my own the last 7 minutes of the show. I'm just now trying to figure out what was recorded and what wasn't. So please bear with us here on Get Deep and Keep It Real. I'm having technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio. So, and my guest was having problems getting in, and many of you were trying to call in to the show, and I do apologize for that. So right now we're just going to take a little break. And I'm going to check on these difficulties, and I'll be back with you in just a moment. Thank you for joining Get Deep and Keep It Real.